We are always the victorious ones. And sometimes, we know the devil's not nice. And he's dirty as dirty can be. But you have to be stronger than the devil is dirty. Amen. Amen. Breakthrough. Breakthrough. We sang that song, I thought, because God talks about it in this word. And then whenever God kept saying there's a breakthrough here this morning, and when that song came, I knew it was in that song. Keep what you received. Don't allow the enemy to tell you you didn't get anything. He'll tell you that because you did. All right? You know you receive when the enemy tells you you don't have anything. Well. You know, God said to you, I'm tired of so-so churches. He said, I want a church that will dare to be different. And do you dare to be different? You know, we just want to come in here and just let the Holy Spirit take over. And whatever the Holy Spirit does, he does. You know? And don't be ashamed of the church. Tell the people, come to the crazy church, and you'll be set free. You know, I'm just tired of sitting here doing nothing. And it's time that the Holy Spirit moves the way he wants to move. And I'm there. I have my little sabbatical where it was, and God dealing with me. I'm there, and I'm ready. Are you along with the ride? You're going to be part of the ride. You're going to be doing the signs and wonders and miracles also. You watch and see what God's going to do with you people. You're all leaders. And the reason why you're fought so hard, I've tell you this over and over again, is because you are a leader among leaders. And the enemy, he just knows he has to kill you before you realize who you are. Do you realize who you are this morning? Sure you do. Say yes. Sure you do. You're a child of the Most High God, and you're victorious. Now we can go out there and tell the world, boy, you're dumb. You know, you need to come into the house of God, and you need to get set free. There's too many houses of God that don't know how to set people free. But the Holy Spirit knows, and we give him full and complete control this morning. Every day, really, every service. Well, Father, we thank you for what you've done thus far. And now, Father God, I'm asking you that you open up their ears to hear what you're saying to them this morning, especially the younger generation, Father, who we know the devil's trying to kill off. But Father God, these young people in here, they are going to carry the torch, and they are going to see the younger generation be set free. And Father God, I thank you for the anointing you've placed upon them, the freedom you've given them, Father God, to get up and praise you any way they want to praise you, Father. And Father God, let us old fogies get in the run race too. And let us do our part. And we're supposed to be here to train the younger ones and be here to back them up. And Father God, I thank you that your Holy Spirit is here this morning teaching your word and bringing us forth once again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I titled this Rain because God talks about rain. And when he started, I thought, you know, this is the that song is so perfect for that. Aren't you glad you serve a living God? How many of you were like me? You went to churches, had a dead God in it. But now we know he's alive and well. And now we know the truth of God's word. And it is setting us free. And as it sets us free, it's going to set the captives free. I'm going to tell you right now, this younger generation, they're going to read that word and they're going to see things we never saw. And they're not going to be under the doctrine. They're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, and nothing's going to stop them. Let's read Hosea 6, 1 through 3. Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like rain, the rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth. And then God starts speaking. Into each life a little rain must fall, But this day, a downpour of my rain will begin to fall into each life. So this is for today. So this day, when you were up here and you were praising, you're worshiping, the rain started falling on your life. And it's not going to stop. Such a deluge of rain is coming upon the land that the people will not be able to stand under its weight. My glory is weighty, and it carries all the miracles of heaven. It carries the goodness of the Lord. This rain is like no other rain. It is the end time downpour or outpouring that I talk about in my word. This latter rain will be combined with the former rain, and the two shall bring forth a greater works. All right, the latter rain is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on God's children. All right? In John 14:12, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. Are you ready for the greater works? You know, wouldn't it be wonderful, say, if we had 1,000 people and everybody acted as crazy as y'all did this morning? Wouldn't that be a breakthrough? That's what I'm looking for. I'm just looking for y'all. And then people say, you ought to go down to that church. They're crazy down there. And then it just, God will add to it daily like he did day of Pentecost. Joel 2:28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. So God said the Holy Spirit is no passive, neutral guest within your soul. He is full of power and authority. Read that again. The Holy Spirit is no passive, neutral guest within your soul. He is full of power and authority. So if you're led by the Holy Spirit, what are you full of? Power and authority. In the coming days, you shall see what no other church generation has seen. I am pouring out my Holy Spirit upon all flesh. New, young, prophetic voices will come on the scene with fire in their bones. Their voices will be heard all across the land. Let's read that again so you young guys, kids, get this in your ears. In the coming days, you shall see what no other church generation has seen. I am pouring out my Holy Spirit upon all flesh. New young prophetic voices. Are you guys ready to do the prophecies in your youth group? Because you're going to have to be ready, because God's going to use you to do that. All right. Their voices will be heard all across the land. They will be loud and boisterous. And you guys get a little bit loud and boisterous. All right. So you fit this description right here. I'm not fussing. I've been trying to get you to do that for a long time. They will be loud and boisterous. They do not know the meaning of fear. Fear has no place in their world. They will not be intimidated by the enemy nor weak saints. All right, by weak saints, that means that's people who think they're godly and they're not, or think they're saved and they're not. They're going to come to you and tell you, you can't do that. Well, you won't pay no attention to them. They told me that too, but God will work through you. Don't worry about what people say. They will not be intimidated by the enemy nor weak saints. They will hear and trust my still small voice like no other generation. See this, guys? You're going to hear and trust his still small voice like nobody else ever has. This generation is a new breed of warriors. They have been in the throes of hell, and now that they are free, they know the enemy's tactics and are in this battle for the long haul. They do not care what it takes. They are willing to do the impossible. Are you hearing this? These warriors are of the Joshua and Caleb generation. These fearless warriors know what I mean when I say it is time to set the captives free. You talk about mighty warriors. There will never be another breed like unto this generation. If I was you young kids, I'd be so excited I'd pee myself about now. You know, with what God's going to do with y'all. It's going to be so wonderful. These warriors have joined the team of forerunners. See that? You forerunners for the younger people. preparing the way for the second coming of my son, Jesus. They are here to do the final thrust and defeat the throes of darkness. They are reinforcements. They are here to hold up the arms of the weary ones. It is an all-out war, the battle of the ages. I know you young kids have been praying for me. So see, you came in here, you reinforced me. You made me excited. You know, give me hope to go on because of watching how you grew and how you're still growing. This new breed will walk in complete unity with those who are like-minded. They do not have time for competition fights. They are not concerned about their names being in lights, but about standing in the light and being the light to a dark, deprived world. Isn't that awesome? Let's read that again. This new breed will walk in complete unity with those who are like-minded. They do not have time for competition fights. They are not concerned about their names being in lights, but about standing in the light and being the light to a dark, deprived world. These have vowed never to allow the darkness to rule and reign in their lives. They know if any darkness abides within, their lights will be tainted. They have vowed to follow me no matter where I send them. You see that? You're going to walk in holiness and righteousness and purity of heart. As I said before, they have absolutely no fear. They are the sold-out ones that I speak of in my word. They cherish their moments with me and covet that relationship with me to the point of death. They are of the Joshua and Caleb generation. Now, I looked up Caleb and Joshua. Caleb will forever be remembered as a mighty warrior who followed God completely. Hear that? He followed God completely. The name Caleb means dog. We encounter a mighty warrior, a man of courage, a man who fully followed God, and his name means dog. However, there is a significance to the meaning of Caleb's name. First of all, he possesses the faithfulness of a dog. We know today that a dog is man's best friend because of their great loyalty to their master. Moreover, a dog is there to protect his master. These are the attributes we must learn from Caleb's dog. See that guy? Isn't that neat? I didn't know his name meant dog. Now let's look at Joshua. Joshua means Yahweh is deliverance or salvation. It carries a powerful message of hope and redemption. So this is what you're going to carry to the world, a message of hope and redemption. Joshua's journey and leadership in biblical scriptures reflect God's faithfulness, guidance, and deliverance. Joshua's unwavering trust in God's promises and his courage in leading the Israelites through battles resonate with believers as they navigate their own spiritual journey. In other words, you're going to remember Joshua and see what he did, and it's going to witness to you. And you're going to do the very same things that Joshua did. You're going to be a mighty man of valor and going to fight the enemy at every turn. Now, symbolically, interpretations of the name Joshua include strength and courage, divine protection and guidance, leadership and authority, faith and devotion, victory and success. I think that's an awful lot mouthful. Then God said, the new mighty warriors will duplicate Joshua and Caleb's walk with Jehovah. Their walks with me will correspond with the warriors of old. There is no schism in my body of believers. These are the Gideons of old that I have called out of obscure places to become end-time warriors. So now we're going to look at Gideon, all right? Judges 6:11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak tree in Ophrah, owned by Joash Abzarite. He arrived while Joash's son Gideon was threshing wheat. Listen what it says here. While Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press, why? So he could hide it from the Midianites. Now, I've been taught ever since I've been in church that Gideon was a coward and he was hiding from the enemy. Isn't that what we've been taught? Isn't that what they say? But here it said he was hiding the wheat so the Midianites wouldn't steal it. The angel of the Lord appeared and said to him, "The Lord is with you, courageous warrior." Now here's where they twisted down in verse 13. Gideon said to him, "Pardon me, but if the Lord is with us, why has such disaster overtaken us?" There he was. They've been teaching me. I've been taught all my life that he was saying, "I'm a coward. Why would God ever talk to me?" That isn't what he's saying. So he's saying, "Why? If we're all that great and wonderful, why is the enemy overtaking us? Where are all his miraculous deeds, you know, God's? Our ancestors told us about. They said, did the Lord not bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to Midian. Then the Lord himself turned to him and said, you have the strength. Deliver Israel from the power of the Midianites." You know, God told Gideon, you have the strength to destroy the enemy. And this is about the younger generation. So this is what you younger generation, you have the strength to put the enemy under your feet and destroy him totally and completely. Because then God said here, you have the strength. Deliver Israel from the power of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? And I can guarantee you, I know for a fact, because I know what God says. You younger generation have been sent by God. And he's going with you. Gideon said to him, but Lord, how can I deliver Israel? Just look, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my family. Then the Lord said to him, but I will be with you. That's how you're going to defeat the enemy. God is always with you. You will strike down the whole Midianite army. Gideon said to him, if you really are pleased with me, then give me a sign as proof that it is really you speaking with me. Do not leave this place until I come back with a gift and present it to you. So Gideon went to kill the whatever. The Lord said, I will stay here until you come back. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he said, oh no, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Now, I put all that in there because this is what God said. These mighty warriors will see the angelic hosts fighting alongside them. They will have personal encounters with my angelic army. My angelic beings will forward messages from the war room directly to them face to face. So, see, we aren't experienced. Us older people haven't experienced that. You know, some people have. You know, we do every now and then. But you are going to actually see the angels as they are beside you, working for you and with you. They are actually going to come like they did, you know, in the older days. They're going to come to you and give you the direct message from God on what you need to be doing. I'm jealous. All right. Genesis 18:2-3. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. This is just showing you how the angels did in the Old Testament. Three men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now this was an angel that came to Abraham's tent, his house, and spoke with him, all right? This is what you guys are looking forward to. Angels coming to your home, coming to your workplace, coming into your car, and giving you instructions. For I know he will command his children and his household. This is God said, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So God's saying, I want to share. Why shouldn't I share what I'm going to be doing with Abraham, my son? He wants to tell you what he's doing before he does it. And you guys will know things before they actually happen. Andrew, I hope you're awake and listening. I'm going to come back there and take your hat off and do something with you. All right. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom, now Abraham's talking to the Lord, and Abraham doesn't want God to kill the people. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near. Now I want you young people to listen to this. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? He was questioning God. See that? Don't be afraid to question God. Peradventure there be 50 righteous within this city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous or that are therein? So he's saying, if there's 50 righteous people, will you save the city? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And he's saying, don't kill the good people, the bad people. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Now, you all know the rest of the story. He went down to, what, 5 or something like that, and both cities were just, there wasn't even 5 righteous people in, amongst those 2 cities. Don't look surprised. There probably isn't 5 righteous people in a lot of cities. God told me, not when he was telling me all those things, he's going to destroy 2 cities in one night. And he's going to rearrange America, and it won't look the same. So it's in the Word what he did, and he's telling us he's going to do it again. Then God says, such a time as this has not been seen in this dispensation of time. It is time to entertain angels unaware. It is time to entertain angels because you know they are mine and sent by me. In other words, you're going to run across, somebody's going to come into your life. It's an angel, but you know they're in, looking like a person, and they're an angel, and you won't know that they are an angel. And if you help them, fine. If not, then you're going to get a smack. All right. But then he also said, it is time to entertain the angels because you know they are mine and sent by me. In other words, when the angels actually come to you, that you'll know that they're from God, and you'll work with them. It's time that we do what God told us, been telling us for years. Start working with the angels. Start allowing them to do their part that they have to do to get America right again. All right, visitation from angels are always connected with revival. You do not want to miss out on the great revival sweeping the nations. This is God speaking. Visitations from angels are always connected with revival. So when the revival breaks out, that's when we're going to start seeing the angels. Somebody said, well, I saw an angel the other day. Or, you know, but now we're not going to say that. We're going to say an angel walked with me and talked with me, gave me instructions from the Lord. An angel was with me and kept me safe. You know, whatever. The rains are here in the natural, and now they are coming in the spiritual. You young guys, you young people, this was a message to you. This morning, God said breakthrough was in here. I know some of you received your breakthrough. But also, I don't know if you all did, but I do know some of you did because I was busy. You know whether or not you were free. If you were free, then keep your freedom. If you did not get a complete breakthrough, then you need to keep pressing in until your complete breakthrough comes. God is saying he does not want partial breakthroughs anymore. He needs you totally and completely free from the enemy. And you know, sometimes we keep fighting the enemy, tell him to get out, get out, get out. And really what the people needs to do is God needs to speak love and peace to them and give them rest, because they've been fighting so long. And I know that as we start getting into God's rest, getting into his peace, the enemy's going to leave, because he can't stand a peaceful person, and he's not going to dwell within your vessel. This is a great time in the body of Christ. God is really getting ready to drop his glory in all of its fullness. He started giving me a word right before I left, but I had to leave. But he said, in the wee hours of the morning, is how it started, I'm going to drop my glory. You know, doesn't mean, you know, he's going to drop his glory. It doesn't say he's going to drop his glory when a church service is going on. And when I get it finished, you know, get the scriptures with it, I'll send it out. But are you ready for the wee hours in the morning? Are you ready while you're laying there? You and I had another visitation, another dream. Are you ready while you're laying there sleeping for God to give you a vision? And, you know, and explain to you what's going on in your life? If you're like me, you're a little bit dumb and have to sit around and wait to see what really is going on. Sometimes you don't understand it to its fullness. You know, if you're really, truly serious with God, he's serious with you. But are you really serious with God? That's the question. Some of you are feeling like you've missed it. Please quit feeling that way because I feel you. You know, if you've missed it, you wouldn't be sitting in the house of God because you'd be so uncomfortable you just couldn't deal with the Spirit. Just keep fighting. Just keep moving forward. In fact, if I was you, I would just tell the enemy he's finished. The blood of Jesus has set you free, and he can't use your vessel anymore. If God doesn't change his mind, we're going to teach about the blood tonight. And I had a great revelation from God as he was giving me this stuff. God said we don't use all the weapons of warfare that he's given us, and we don't. We don't use the blood properly. You know, we leave our, just like God says, we leave our we don't get dressed for battle in the morning, you know. And you can say, well, I do. Well, okay, so you said, because I do. I put on my full armor of God, you know. But the devil's listening to that too. He said, oh, you think you're fully clothed? Well, let's just see if I can't find a crack in your armor somewhere. So, you know, don't allow him to take you down a side road is what God is saying here. You know who you are in Jesus Christ, do you not? Well, then why not act like you know who you are in Jesus Christ? You know, the world has walked in, the world has walked in religion so long they don't know how to move by the Spirit, do they? Because they're still caught up in the doctrine. In the religious thing. And God even said that he wants me to take a new look at the word. It was just like when he was showing me about Gideon in the wine press. I said, well, that isn't what I've been taught. And I read the scripture myself over and over and over again, but I never caught that until the other day. He wasn't hiding from God at all. But see how the enemy kept us, well, some people in the dark about that? What is the enemy keeping you in the dark about? Not knowing the truth of God's word. Here's what God's saying right now. Because this has always been a prophetic church, you know, and because I wear a prophetic mantle, every one of you should be a prophet. Every one of you should be walking in the Spirit to the point where God can use you at any given time. And I know that God used me to break some of you in there. I say, okay, you got a word, give it. I never forget the first time I told Catherine that, and her eyes got bigger than her head. But look how she flows in the prophetic now. See, you have to start somewhere. And I wouldn't tell you had a word from God if you didn't. So quit being afraid. You know, whenever God told me to open the church, I was very happy sitting in a church. And I didn't know how to do it. And God said, the Holy Spirit will teach you. The Holy Spirit will lead you in every area of your life. I don't care what it is you're trying to do. If you're walking with the Spirit, he will tell you when you're going the wrong direction. All right? And we need to quit blaming God because we don't get things, because sometimes we either get ahead of God or we just want something God doesn't want us to have, and so he doesn't let us have it, and then we act like little babies and we throw a fit. What you need to do right now, before you really get into your ministry 100%, God, not my will, but your will be done. It doesn't matter what I want, Father. It's what you, how you want it and what you want. And whenever you really release that to God, you won't ever go wrong. He won't let you go wrong. The Holy Spirit will always steer you in the right direction. And don't let people try to tell you how to run your ministry. All right, did God start your ministry? Then God's your leader. He's one that should be leading you in your ministry. There's too many people out there that they don't want to see you thrive, so they continually try to put your fire out. Even though this message really was geared at young people, everybody in here can glean something from this message. Us older people, we've been deceived by the generations before us, and if you weren't led by the Spirit of God, you didn't know any better. You just followed what they told you, right? I mean, whenever I didn't know God spoke, and when I started the ministry, I didn't know that, but I found that out real quick, and then I had to, you know, had to rethink everything I ever did, because I was always following religion and not the Spirit. But Andrew, you better get on the stick before God gets a stick after you. You know what you have to do, now do it. Quit your playing around. Some other of you in here, you know what God's calling you to do. Do it. Just do it. Just step out there and do it. God will send people. If it's God, he'll add to. If it's not God, you'll just sit and spin your wheels. Then you'll say, okay, I have to regroup here, because somewhere along the line, I didn't hear God correctly, or just didn't hear him at all. All right? I say that because when God called me to do this, I had never done it before, and I was perfectly happy sitting behind the scenes helping the pastors. And he said, this is the day. It was just me and two other people. And then he added to. He just adds to all the time. Well, why don't you have 1,000 people church? Well, because right now that isn't what God wants. God always told me, don't despise small beginnings. So if it doesn't take off, you're running real quick, like, don't worry about it. But that's not going to happen anymore. We're at the end times, and it has to take off. It has to prosper. Because you don't have time to dilly-dally around like we did and learn all the, we still are forerunners. And we had to prepare the way for everybody else, so we had to make sure that we were hearing God correctly. All right? And now because you've been taught up, brought up, and to listen for God's voice of direction, you shouldn't have any problems as long as you listen, you know, to the voice of God. What God wants to do this morning is, he said the rains are here in the natural, and now they're coming in the spiritual. Today, what God wants to do today is drop an anointing on your eyes so that you will begin to see the angels. He said, I'm hearing him say, angel visitation is going to start overnight. And many in here, right in here, will have visitation after visitations of the holy angels. And these angels are going to bring you hope, so that you, in a way that you never had hope before, so that you can take that hope to a lost and dying generation. Are you hearing that? So this is what, you know, he wants to anoint our eyes so we can see into the spirit realm and see the angels. I remember the first angel I saw, I said, what is that? And God said, that's your guardian angel. That was the first angel I ever saw, shortly after I was born again. Have you seen your guardian angel? Maybe you say, come on, God, if you showed it to Pastor Barbara, you're never no respecter of persons, just show me my angel. I would do that if I was you. I'd do that with other things. Well, you did this for them, you can do that for me, you know, if I know it's God's will. So don't be afraid to ask God to do things for you. Don't be afraid to ask him, you know, open my eyes, open my spiritual understanding. You need to talk to the Father, make him part of your life. This is why you don't have a close relationship, because you don't really talk to him. And I'm not saying you have to sit down in a chair for an hour and stare at the wall. You talk to them while you're working. You know, I bet Donna now, since she's born again, she's slapping her water around, washing the wall. She's talking to God, saying, clean this real quick for me. If I was her, I'd say, angels, clean that wall over there because I'm tired. I'm being serious. Come on. If you really read about what the angels did in the Old Testament, they help people. So who in here wants to really have their eyes open so they can see the angelic beings, not just hear about them, but really and truly see them? The altar is open for you to do that.